lived with that idea for a while. Some questions too? Her. It's a her. If you can understand beatbox, then yes.
Oh, then we're set.
Then you're set, totally.
You laugh.
Am I by myself on this?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. I can talk the whole time then. Hi.
I love the movie, by the way.
Thank you.
I met Samantha Newark a couple months ago, and I was surprised that she was in this cameo.
I'm good, yes. Yeah, she's so great, right?
Yeah, my question to you is, did you approach all the other actors of the original cartoon, or was it just her that you wanted to get? And how important to get the blessings of the people?
Really important to get the blessings. You know, I'm a huge fan of theirs, so making the first call was scary because you don't know how they're going to react. They've been the most warm, appreciative, beautiful people. They've really introduced me to their world of fans, and I got to show them the movie a month or so ago, and they were just crying and sobbing, and they gave me a big hug. Because they can be polite, you know, but until they see the movie, I don't think they really know. They had to really trust me on that. Both Christy, Samantha, and Britta all have been the best it could ever ask. And Christy Marks, who I called, because I don't know her relationship with Hasbro or what had gone. I don't know what their thing was. So I called her after we basically got Hasbro to say, yes, we're going to make this movie. And she was like, you know, the only thing, she said that she had done other rebrands of other properties, so she understood what that process could be like. And so I walked her through all the stuff. But she said, the one thing I wish I did in the series more that I didn't get to do that I hope you get to do is focus on the sisterhood of these girls because they're sisters. She's like, I always kept them a little bit more just like apart from each other. And she's like, I think that would bring back. So that affected us a lot. We really built the story around that idea.
Thank you.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Can you talk a little bit about casting Aubrey? Because obviously this hinges on the title character.
Yes.
Did she have to go through an audition? And what do you think made her stand out amongst, you know, the other actresses?
Yeah, we saw a lot of women, girls out there. We really wanted someone who could sing, so we could be very genuine about that. Someone who understood music, who understood that the idea of coming into a world where you're sort of dealing with your own identity. Someone who is close in age to what Jerrica would be. Because the first and foremost thing we really wanted was, this is a story about Jerrica. This isn't actually Jem. She becomes Jem. So this is in her identity, who she is as a girl that it starts to deal with this stuff. So it was fun because she loves analog things. She loves like Polaroids and old music, and she has this old guitar that she plays. And yet she is a very modern girl, and she was just honest. And I think that combination really drew us to her. We found her very last moment. We were going to shut down the movie if we didn't find the right Jerrica, and that was a hard thing to come across. But when we found her, we knew that's exactly sort of the quirky, real, but also sort of girl who becomes a princess sort of story that we wanted to tell, and she could really carry that.
What I loved about the movie is you have these kind of YouTube interstitials.
Yep. Well, we knew that identity was something we really wanted to deal with in this movie. The movie couldn't get made without social media, really, because the idea was, our real identity that we're dealing with is what are we putting out there, what are we saying to the world, and who are we as behind the scenes. And the YouTube stuff, as we saw more and more young people doing YouTube stuff, I do a lot of YouTube videos as well. It was like, this is a generation of makers, of creators, whether it's a painting or cooking or makeup or blogs. We really want to get across that this was a new generation of people. And so when I was making Never Say Never with the Justin Bieber movie, we told that story a lot through different YouTube videos. And I remember thinking back then, that would be a really great way to tell a story, a fictional story, if we could. And so when Jem came, I was like, this could be the perfect vehicle to use that idea. So we did we asked people to send what they thought about Jem as if she were a real person. We asked them to create music and see what we could do. And it wasn't necessarily all planned out. It was, let's see what we get. and let's see how it affects our story. So we did a lot of experimenting with the drum sequence. We used all different types of things, and things that spoke to us, that people from all walks of life, all places, and it could speak to us sort of in the same way Never Say Never recontextualize his music to tell the story of his life. We make the sort of Greek chorus of the internet to recontextualize that stuff to tell our story of this girl going through it. Yes.
I know this has been a passion project for you for a very long time. Can you talk a little bit about what the experience was like reimagining this as a live action project?
Yeah, I pitched it like 11 years ago, but it was a very different version. And I think what I learned from that version, and it never got made, it was to Hasbro and to Universal, but it was really about Gem, and it was almost just the live action cartoon version of it, which was fine. It just wasn't anything new. And what I think, what happened 10 years later was social media happened. I'd gone through a lot of different things that happened. And we came down to the idea that, we need to tell the story about Jerrica. And for me, that was we need to make it into a live action movie. You need to have a character that you really cared about and that you believe this thing, as crazy as the world gets, and I think this is just the beginning of how crazy the world can get, we needed someone that we could care about, root for, be fearful for, and so that was sort of our vehicle in, and the one thing we wanted to do was just make a great movie. We wanted you to laugh, we wanted you to cry, we wanted you to move your feet. If we could get that out of a Gem and the Holograms movie, then we won. And so... but it's difficult, you know. You want to pay homage to the original, but you have to let some things go as well. Something like Juliette Lewis comes to your table, and you're like, she's such a great villain for this, and it was always Eric Raymond, a man, playing that role. And when she came in, we're like, she's so great. How could you not make this into a woman? We took that leap of faith that the audience would go with us for that fun. And again, this is sort of our Batman Begins to Gem and the Holograms. So even Synergy evolves eventually, or will evolve eventually. And so I always saw this as sort of a first step of getting us into the world, and then knowing, like as you see in the end, that things are about to hit the fan. Well, Gem Con, I would have loved to attend. I was doing two movies at the same time, so it's been a little hard. I've never gone before, but when I got the movie, I was like, I should probably go for sure because I want to see what it's... I honestly didn't even know Gem Con existed before that. So, but I've been doing two movies, so I couldn't make it last year and I couldn't make it this year, but I would love to attend. in terms of... other cartoons that turn live action. I mean, what's interesting about those things is there's many different versions of G.I. Joe. There's many different versions of Transformers that exist at the same time. There's the Nickelodeon cartoon version, or there's the toy versions, or there's still the old 80s versions that exist. And I think that these brands can exist on those multi-layers in those different versions, and I don't think it ruins that audience for that particular one. Like, Gem continues to live, though, that 80s cartoon, people will continue to watch it and be inspired by that version. A different audience may be inspired by this version, but maybe some people from that version will see their Gem in this version. That's certainly, for me, is what I tried to bring over, the things that I thought sort of at its core were essential to it, especially as this was sort of an origin to get there. And so I don't quite know how to avoid any pleasing everybody, but I do know there will be more Gem ideas, whether it's from the other comic book that exists or from a cartoon that they may make or whatever it may be, and that's the great thing about art, and what we do is everybody gets their take, and they either lives or dies by the people who are affected by it.
Yeah. You know, the glam rock pop of Gem to what it is now. How did you manage to update Gem, and what were some of the biggest challenges of finding her sound in a modern world?
It was that's a hard one too, because music has changed, access to music has changed. Rock and roll, I'm not even sure what is rock and roll anymore this day and age. So it was less about how do we bring rock and roll to this day and age, and more about like how do we who are these girls first and foremost, and how would they communicate their sound best? We had many different versions of all those songs that are in the movie. We went to Scooter Braun's well of great music writers and said, here's the point in the movie that we need a song. We're trying to tell this story within this song. Give us some options. We got tons and tons, and we got to pick the ones that sort of fit right. We did not give them a genre. We did not give them any sort of template to follow. We just said, give us what communicates this best. So actually, if you listen to the movie, we jump genres a little bit. Yeah, it's a little poppier than, it's on the poppier side, I guess, but many of those songs are very different from each other. And we just went the ones that felt right, to be honest.
I was curious, what themes from the animated series were the most important for you to bring into your movie? I mean, clearly it's your own vision of it.
Yeah, well, the sisterhood part of it. I think that the dealing with identity, I mean, she's constant, but it's a different thing because she's literally changing forms. But even that we had a debate about because she looks exactly the same. She just has makeup on, but technically it's a hologram that changes her appearance even though she looks exactly. So we had to figure out those specific, like when you make something live action, what's actually happening in those moments. But I think the identity of who she was a big one for us. I think that her ultimately was the family, though, to be honest. That's sort of why and wanted to make that. Dealing with fame a bit in there, but fame has also changed because now anyone can be famous anytime. And when we were talking about it and going over, what does that mean? What does fame even mean anymore? And fashion and glitter and fame, like it felt very like, we can't actually say that glitter and fashion and fame is everything. So what are we actually saying? And we went the opposite way. We said actually fame is an illusion. Fame is sort of our hologram. And so how do we paint that picture in the best of things? And yes, you've heard that story, the rise to fame, many times, as she says, even in the movie, or bands breaking up, it happens. But we wanted to tell it in a way with the YouTube videos, through her journey with a weird robot that beatboxes, with all these strange sort of elements, and tell that story in the gem unique way of it. And that, you know what, when it comes down to it, for herself, gem is anything you want it to be. Gem is not ours to say. In a weird way, it's sort of us saying, this is our version of Gem, but it's not Gem. Gem is whatever you want your Gem to be and what you want and how you, because we found so many fans who create their own cartoon or they have their own Gem band or they have, and we wanted to say like, that's every, Gem is for everybody. And I thought that was a powerful thing for us.
Yeah. Making something that takes their childhood.
Yes. So, which is really dramatic, by the way. But yes. Yes.
What do you think the biggest challenge is for you to kind of play homage to the original stuff, but then kind of create your own?
Yeah. I think I couldn't think too much about that. Of all the things from G.I. Joe to even the Step Up movies, when I first came on the Step Up movies, everyone's like, oh, you can't do another Step Up movie. It was just one. And then you do it, and then they do five more, and then there's a different audience maybe that follows up, but it adjusts and changes. Same thing with the G.I. Joe stuff, and same thing with even the Bieber stuff. Like, usually people are, my movies have been so different from the other, like the Bieber fans were really mad that I was doing something with guns in G.I. Joe, and then the G.I. Joe fans were really mad that I went back to do a Justin Bieber movie, and then I went to go do a Gem in the Hologram movie. It was very confused. I think I confused people, but I can't really. The thing is, I'm a fan of things as well, and so I feel those same things when I see that. So I don't call them haters. Like, I hate it when people are like, "Oh, the hater." They're just haters. They have good points and they have their thing. I wish they would judge the movie first and see the movie before they jump to those things, and then they can say those things, and then there's a debate there. Or, you know, but the But for me, I just have to stay focused on, I need to make a great movie, a movie that if you know everything about Jem and you know nothing about Jem, it works. It's the same thing when I went into Justin Bieber. I didn't know who Justin Bieber was, but I knew I had to make a movie that I could bring my friends and they'd be like, I hate Justin Bieber, and by the end be like, I may not love Justin Bieber, but I really understand Justin Bieber. I wanted to do that with Jem and say, we can do that. We can take this that I'm the youngest of five kids. All my sisters watched it. I pretended not to watch it, but it was always on. And how I wanted to make sure that we could communicate how that affected me or the people around me that I know in a unique way. And that was first and foremost, a character that we loved and could root for and go with. And if we got that right, then the world is sort of our oyster as we build in all the other things. So.
I just thought you did a great job with that.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks very much,
Jeff. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, take photos with the, does he want to walk?